This is TalkBack, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
This is News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. KGVO, Missoula's news and weather station.
Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Friday, the Good Friday edition of TalkBack. And TalkBack this morning is brought to you by our friends at Y West Storage. Secure flexible self-storage in Missoula. To reserve your unit at Y West, here's the number. These are all 406 area code, 510-0590 for Y West. Quality Seamless Gutters, expert gutter installation and repair. For a free quote, call Quality Seamless Gutters at 728-4002. Bruckner's Truck and Equipment, heavy-duty truck sales, parts and service. Call Bruckner's 541-9097. Busy Bees Cleaning Service, commercial cleaning you can always trust. Call Busy Bees 550-3219 and get a free estimate. Pivots Plus is Montana's leader in irrigation parts service and sales. Call 683-4418 for Pivots Plus. Gomer's Diesel, diesel repair parts and service in Missoula. Call Gomer's Diesel, 728-7620. And by Harrington Surgical Supply, providing medical and surgical supplies to healthcare professionals all across western Montana. Give them a call today, 721-8468.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
Oh, good morning and welcome, everybody. Peter Christian here, Mr. Nick Christensen over there. Good morning, Mr. Nick.
Good morning.
Hey, here it is. It's Good Friday, and we want to say thank you to everybody for joining us here this morning. And as is our custom, we take this Friday to talk with the Chief Deputy Missoula County Attorney Mac Bloom for the crime report this week. Mac, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Peter. How are you doing today? Happy Good Friday and happy early Easter going into the weekend.
The same to you, sir. Please go ahead.
So, Peter, we had a pretty quiet week this week. We ended up charging 10 felonies. We did 4 violent persons crimes, 4 drug crimes, and then 2 administrative crimes. This is the first week in a long time we haven't had any property crimes, so that was kind of nice. Just kind of anecdotally noticing over the last couple of weeks, we've had a decent number of theft cases involving vehicles or property from inside vehicles. So I kind of wanted to take a moment to just remind the listeners to please lock your vehicles and don't store your valuables in there. The legislature did recently amend one of the theft statutes to allow a felony for theft of any vehicle. That's a change. It used to be based on the value of the vehicle. Now stealing any vehicle is a 10-year felony. And they also just added a new felony this year for theft of a firearm. So we were seeing a lot of people going around car hopping trying to steal guns out of vehicles. And that's a felony now, just new in 2025. So the penalties are getting stiffer to try to kind of dissuade this stuff. But I just want to remind the listeners to keep their valuables locked up and don't store things in cars, because folks do like to try to break windows or get in other ways.
Well, I would imagine that there are all sorts of things in people's cars that those who want to steal are looking for. So perhaps we should take care of everything that's in the car.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Peter. I mean, the other one I hear all the time is people storing fishing or hunting equipment. You know, maybe they're getting ready to go the following day and they leave it in their car overnight. And someone notices there's, you know, fly rods or maybe a nice hunting rifle or something. So that's really common in Montana. We love to enjoy the outdoors, but consider not storing your good, expensive gear in your vehicle overnight, because it is a target.
All right. Anything else safety-wise as we head into this this beautiful spring weather that we should be looking out for?
No, I don't think so, Peter. It should be a great Easter weekend. I just obviously remind people, if you're going to drink this weekend, if for any reason, don't drive. Get a sober driver. I don't want to see any DUIs over the weekend.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for the information, Mac. You have a great Easter weekend, sir.
Yeah, you too, Peter. Take care.
Thank you, sir. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have a special guest coming into the studio who was here before when the Montana Knife Company first opened, Josh Smith. The grand opening is coming up, by the way, in just a couple of days. We're going to be talking with Josh, the founder and CEO and master bladesmith at the Montana Knife Company. That's coming up here in just a moment. We'll be taking your phone calls, too, at 721-1290.
Dennis Bragg with your updated Town Square weather. A few clouds on Friday morning and a lingering threat of showers, but then clearing off with sunshine in the afternoon. Highs getting back up into the low 50s. Friday night, we could see a little patchy fog form overnight. Otherwise, mostly clear. Lows will drop just below freezing. Then for your Easter weekend, it's looking great right now. Saturday, sunny with high near 60. And then Saturday night, mostly clear. Lows around freezing. Easter Sunday looks to be mostly sunny with a high into the mid-60s.
Welcome back, everybody, and we are glad and proud to have Josh Smith joining us here in the studio this morning, the founder of the Montana Knife Company, which, of course, is having their grand opening here pretty quick. So, first of all, welcome back. It's good to see you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
Tell us how it's gone. Obviously, I love seeing your big building as I'm driving down the interstate, either direction. You know you're in Missoula or leaving Missoula when you see your building.
You do, and it's pretty cool. The last time I was in here, we were still having all of our employees report to work down my dead-end road at my house in Frenchtown. So it's nice to...
It's better than working out of the garage, right?
Yeah, it is. And we're really proud of that new building on the hill and that giant American flag and that we're creating all the jobs that we are here in this town. It's pretty cool.
So for those who weren't available, who weren't with us the first time you were on, tell us about the genesis of the Montana Knife Company.
Yeah, just... real Cliff Notes version. I grew up in Lincoln, Montana, and started making knives when I was 11. And, you know, I had some success with custom knife making along the way and success and failures. And then when I was actually a lineman for Northwestern Energy in 2020, right at the start of COVID is when I decided to start this company in my garage and just my wife and kids helping me. And I wanted to build production hunting knives and didn't know how to do it. So we started and it started going well, and then finally by the 1st of January of 21, I quit my job, started hiring a couple people to help, and now we have 115 employees and that new building on the hill, so it's pretty cool.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That is, what a great success story.
Yeah, it's amazing, and I think it shows, you know, the American consumer, the American public really wants something to believe in, some hope, and it's the American dream. It's American manufacturing, and it really shows why American manufacturing is, you know, so important to our country because of the jobs it creates, the careers we've created. It's just really, really cool.
Tell us what's different about the knives we'll find at the Montana Knife Company as opposed to stuff we can just order online out of a catalog.
Sure. Well, most of the stuff you order online out of a catalog is made in China. You know, made somewhere else. You know, these knives are made right here in America. We use premium steels, the heat treating, ways that we do that stuff to make the blades really work well in the field. They're all hand sharpened. And then just, you can see it when you come out to our coffee shop, it's in our retail store. You can sit there and see through the windows. We have big giant glass windows.
That is totally cool, by the way.
Yeah, you can see through into the manufacturing area and you can see the product being built right in front of you. And how many, you know, companies do you shop at where you can go to the factory and see the workers, meet the workers, take a tour of the factory and then bring it back and have it warrantied or sharpened. We sharpen our knives for free for life.
Wow.
Whether you send them in from out of state or you drive out and you drop them off at the coffee shop, we'll sharpen them while you're standing there and send you on your way with them. So, you know, try returning that knife you bought at Cabela's that was made in China to get it sharpened and tell me if you ever get it back. You know?
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the people that you have working with you. Obviously, you've got to be kind of choosy because you put out a quality product. You want to make sure everyone that goes out the door is perfect.
Yeah. That's one of the hardest parts of scaling is, I mean, frankly, it's expensive around Missoula to live here, to move here,
right,
to survive. So we do pay well and, you know, Montanans make fantastic employees. And I don't know that we could have grown this business in many other states the way we have in the last 5 years. And, you know, we build careers. So we hire, and I think people are mostly surprised. You walk through our building, it's, you know, 19, 20, 25 year old women and men, that came in with maybe no experience and we build them a career, but we are also hiring high level machinists, engineers, finance people, marketing. So it's across the board.
Tell me a little bit about that process of when somebody comes in and says, you know, I don't know anything about this business, but it just sounds so cool and I want to be a part of it. So how do you take them under your wing and say, hey, this is the kind of life you want?
Yeah, we start them at entry level, basically assembling parts. And when they start to show that they've got an aptitude for that, a good work ethic, a good attitude, ask the right questions, then we just start to hand them more responsibility. I think people want responsibility. They want something to keep their mind active and hungry. And we show, and people can see it. You can look over and see Ray, who started here 3 years ago as a knife tech and didn't know anything, you know, now in the machinist side and actually building a machinist career, right? And these, most of these employees want to have some kind of a career, and they might not even know in what. And some of our people even come off of the manufacturing floor into the finance area, the marketing area. So we move our people around based on, you know, the aptitude that they show.
Sure.
What I'm most concerned about when we interview is, you know, what's your attitude like? Do you get up on Saturday and go do something, right? I want people that are doers, that are active, that are in the outdoors. Right. And they make great employees.
Well, I would imagine the opportunity to use the product that they're making has got to be very exciting. Because, hey, I helped build this.
It's a great observation. And I think it's what also makes people, customers, resonate with our brand. Because we actually show on our, every Friday night, we drop a vlog on our YouTube. And it's video of our employees throughout our shop and what they're doing on the weekends. And when you see someone that's making the product that you're buying actually out using it, you understand that they're a core, you know, they're a core user of the end product that they make. They believe in it.
What are people asking for? I obviously, you make all sorts of knives for all sorts of people, but what's the big demand?
Well, right now the big demand is something we don't make, but we're about to release it in probably the next couple months, which is a pocket knife,
cool,
a folding knife. Right now we've made all fixed blade knives in the hunting industry. Also, our culinary knives are huge with people. We cannot keep those in stock. So chef's knives, you walk in and you see those chef's knives on your counter. They're absolutely beautiful and they perform amazing. So they're one of our biggest draws right now. And in addition to our tactical line, you know, our first responders, military guys carrying those. So it's kind of across the board.
You know, it's so cool that you have such a wide variety of different types of knives. And as you look forward into the future, I mean, are there some avenues you haven't had a chance to explore yet?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, there's just so many different types of people in this country. One guy that we work close with is Mike Rowe, the dirty jobs guy,
yeah.
You know, and Mike and I become really good friends. And there's so many blue collar workers across this country that have a knife on them or in their pocket every single day. And they're doing different things. So they need different types of knives for different jobs, not to mention hunters, fishermen, you know, more culinary line, tactical, you know, folding knives. It's across the board, not to mention the other things that we can make. Because we have a manufacturing facility that's not even a knife, potentially.
Now, not only is this a manufacturing plant, but it's also a display area. I mean, people can actually buy retail there?
It is, and people are surprised at how beautiful it is. You come in, we have a Black Rifle coffee shop in there.
Cool.
You can come in, church group. You know, we see the Missoula Sheriff's Department coming in, having coffee. We love those guys. I mean, all sorts of people coming in, people coming just tourism off the highway. And you come in there, you order coffee and a little bit of food, and you can shop for knives, apparel, all that stuff, Yeti stuff. And again, stand there and watch the knives being made through the windows.
I would imagine that's got to be a fascinating process. And we're lucky you don't charge to have people charge admission to have people watch you make knives.
Well, how many, you know, products do you buy where you can go to the factory and actually walk through it and see it? And we call it built in public, and we've been sharing all of the challenges of this from day one on our Instagram pages and whatnot. Mm. People have seen this from just my wife and I in her fulfilling apparel in the basement.
Right.
And my kids working out in the shop when they were in seventh, eighth grade to now they're graduated and gone and we have 100+ employees. So we want people to see the struggles and see the successes and feel like they own part of that brand because they do. They supported us.
I would imagine that you would make a great, and you and your staff would make great mentors because you've been there, done that, of starting a business from scratch and building it to something that's quite literally worldwide.
Yeah, and we try to, when people ask us questions about, you know, how did you do this or, you know, try to seek advice. And really what's most important is mentoring our employees. I want to treat those employees like I would hope another business would treat my children. I have four kids, you know, when they go work for them. So we try to level our employees up and teach them something every day.
Oh, we're up against a break. We would love to have some phone calls for Josh Smith. Pardon me. The grand opening has come. We'll talk about the grand opening coming up in the next week or so when the Montana Knife Company and the founder, CEO, and master bladesmith is right here in the studio with us. If you have a question or a comment about how they do what they do, give us a call. Of course, some of that's trade secrets. But anyway, 721-1290. We'll be right back after this.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. Forecasters releasing their April 1st fire season outlook, the first official look at what's coming this summer. Northern Rockies Predictive Services meteorologist Dan Borsum says there's actually more residual moisture than you might expect in the soil from those early winter storms, and that's going to help at least in the first part of the fire season.
It's still in the system. It's just in the soil. It's not necessarily in the surface. It's not in the snowpack. So while, yes, we did have those conditions at the surface that supported our fire activity in February into March, this might actually be an indicator of what's going to happen with the live fuels as they begin to emerge. They may not be as stressed as one would think based on the lack of snowpack.
Borsum says the forecast as of this week indicates close to normal fire risk through May and into June, although by then Washington and Oregon and parts of northern Idaho will be at an elevated fire risk in July. He's not expecting El Nino to have any real impact until late in the fire season. Meanwhile, National Weather Service hydrologist Leanne Allegretto in Missoula says some of those March storms helped most of the basins to rebound close to 90% in many cases. Allegretto says the problem is what she calls the abnormally warm conditions has undermined the snow water equivalent. That's the critical measure that determines how much water will be available into the summer months.
Just about the bulk of it did not fall as snow. And while we do have snow in the mountains above certain elevations, honestly, the majority of it was just too warm to fall as snow.
Montanans are focused on the moon this week, not because of the full moon, but watching astronaut and mission specialist Christina Cook bring a little of the big sky to the big sky. Speaking from space yesterday with ABC News, the former Livingston resident and her crewmates reflected on the launch and seeing the Earth from that far away for the first time in more than 50 years.
And seeing the entire planet out the window in one pane. Knowing that we're about to have some similar views of the moon in that same way is definitely getting me more excited for it.
This is the Montana State News Network.
Every act of change begins with a neighbor, with someone saying,
"We take care of each other here."
In food banks and food pantries, neighbors pack fresh food and dignity into every box, moving food from farms to families through Feeding America's nationwide network. So when that box reaches a home, it carries more than food. It carries a promise that together we can end hunger. Feeding America, led by neighbors. Take action to end hunger now at feedingamerica.org.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country this spring. More than just a walk, Moving Day is a fun experience that unites the community in the fight against Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's doesn't stop, and neither will we. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register for an event in your area at movingdaywalk.org. That's movingdaywalk.org.
Hey, phone lines are open right now. Josh Smith, the grand opening, by the way, of the Montana Knife Company. You've been around for a while, but the grand opening is coming up on April the 11th. And so a founder, CEO, and master bladesmith, Josh Smith, joining us here in the studio this morning. During the break, we're talking about where we'll find the Montana Knife Company knives around Missoula.
Yeah, I mean, for right now, you can buy our knives on our website. We're pretty much direct to consumer. That's about the only place. They do have some at the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. We're friends with them and believe in their mission.
Right.
You can buy our knives at our store and on our website. And the cool thing is we will warranty those knives for life. So we'll sharpen those for free for you for life. You send them in, or if you're local, bring them in, drop them off.
Now let's go back a little bit, because I know the first time you were here, you gave us kind of a history, a capsule history of how you got started in this. And it all, as many businesses do, it started at home, right?
Yeah, it really did. And I mean, all the way back, I was 11-year-old Little League baseball player in Lincoln. And Rick's, my Little League baseball coach, started teaching me. But yeah, this started in 2020 in my garage, just as a, you know, nights and mornings before and after work.
It was a passion for you.
It really was. And I wanted to build a hunting knife company because I just didn't think the quality that I was seeing in stores was what people deserved. And honestly, most people told me it was impossible because you can buy a knife from China for $40 in Walmart, right? And but I believe there were enough Americans that believed in American-made product, and they would see the difference in quality once I got going, and that's exactly what happened.
What is the difference in quality from a knife you might get out of a catalog somewhere, and you put it up against one of yours? What will the differences it will see?
Well, I'm the only CEO of a knife company or founder of a knife company that's a master bladesmith, so I can actually make the product. And I took 30 years of master bladesmith experience and put that into this company. And so the way that we heat treat our knives, the edge geometry, the way we grind them, the steel selection, you know, the materials that we choose, the fit of the sheath, like everything about it, the design, because I'm a hunter, and that I actually use those knives. And then even when we went to design the chef's knives, I went and had, you know, advice from professional chefs and from people in that industry. So it's kind of the whole entire package that makes a better knife than what they're using in China with cheap steel and bad practices.
Do you get people coming into your shop that are in a certain industry, a certain niche, and they say, you know what, I cannot find a knife that will suit my needs for my business. Is that something you can custom make for them?
You know, we don't one-off custom make stuff, but okay. when we do hear over and over that somebody is missing something, for example, we have a fleshing knife for taxidermy work that and guides like in Alaska, and I was hearing over and over and over they needed this knife, so that's why we have our bear tooth knife. We do specially make certain knives for a certain industry when we start to hear over and over that something is a need.
Now, when people come in to look at your knives in your showroom, do you have everything there, or do you have a catalog or what?
Yeah, everything's displayed right out in the open. You can pick it up. You can handle it. Yeah, they're sharp, so be careful. I'm not sure our insurance company loves that, but I think when you're going to buy something that's $200 or $300, you want to put your hands on it and feel it. And I want people to feel and see the quality firsthand and not just in pictures.
What will they feel when they come in, they pick up that knife? They're going to realize it's got weight to it.
Yeah, and honestly, it's really a lot of them is a lack of weight. I think a lot of companies are worried about their customers breaking knives, and so they beef them up and they make them for the lowest common denominator guy that's using it as a pry bar instead of an actual knife. And so for hunting, a lot of it, you're carrying weight, right, in the mountains. And the less weight you can carry, the more the farther you're going to be able to go. So we really broke the mold and went away from heavy stuff. And it's lighter weight. But that's what you get when you do proper heat treating with the right steel. You can get away with a lighter, thinner blade. Ergonomics are really important. We spend a lot more time machining and manufacturing our handles than most companies because they want to do things by speed and keep the price down. I'm only worried about what's the best product at the end. So we're going to take the extra time on the mill to make it feel like it was perfectly handmade for your hand.
Now, I would imagine that that would also include knives for ladies as well as men. Ladies tend to have smaller hands than men. And so are there different lines in that respect?
Yeah, we have like our mini Speed Goat, for example. I tell my daughters, I have teenage daughters that are in college, you know, if you're up hiking the M on a trail or you're out in the woods hiking and whatnot, you should have a knife on you for various different reasons. But one is, you know, self-protection. And so a lot of women carry our real light, like Speed Goat, mini Speed Goat knives in their purse. Or you can clip it on your, you know, sports bra or in your leggings or whatever, and you won't even know it's there. It weighs less than an ounce and a half.
Wow.
And so, again, it makes me feel comfortable knowing my wife right now, she's in Argentina. She's hunting down in Argentina.
Good for her.
But
right.
When she was in Buenos Aires the other day, you know, she's got a knife on her, and you might not be able to see it or tell, but she's got it if she needs it.
Now, when it comes to traveling, how do the customs folks treat those knives? Obviously, do they have to quarantine them somehow, or are you able to take them on the plane? That sort of thing.
Yeah, never. I'm old enough to remember when we actually could take them on the plane, so it kind of tells you my age. But
right.
No, you have to check them in your luggage. But beyond that, we've never had any issue whatsoever with knives and customs and whatnot.
Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the future. Obviously, how long has Missoula Knife Company been in existence here in Missoula?
Well, yeah, I mean, Montana Knife Company started in 2020, but we really only moved into this new manufacturing facility in January.
Right.
And we've been building that for a year. It was in Frenchtown up until January. And now it's at the Y at the old Stockyard facility next to the Trap Club out there,
right
along the interstate. And, you know, we built a 51,000 square foot manufacturing facility. And that's really what the grand opening is about, April 11th, next Saturday. And it's something that we're just incredibly proud about is when you first come into Missoula, our business is the first one you're going to see. And it's not some big corporate hotel chain or, you know, Walmart. It's Montana Knife Company. And I hope our community is proud of it, even if they don't know us.
Well, I would imagine so. Now, let's talk about the grand opening. What kind of special things are going to be happening?
Yeah, the coffee shop will open at 6. First 50 people in line will get a special bag. We'll also be doing raffles throughout the day, giveaways. We're going to be giving tours of the manufacturing facility. I will personally be giving those tours. We're going to have some really cool people around there that, you know, some of them I'm not sure can talk about just yet, but we'll see. might be a little bit of a surprise.
Don't want to let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah. So it's going to be a pretty neat day, and we're just going to be hanging out. Our employees are going to be there. It's going to be a really cool time. And so we want people to just come out and see it for themselves and walk them through the manufacturing facility. And that's the thing. We don't have any secrets. You know, you were joking right at the end of the last segment. We call it built in public, and we don't have secrets. I want to show people how we do things. Wow. And, you know, if somebody doesn't like it, or they're like, well, I want more of a custom knife from a, you know, a guy down the Bitterroot. I think that's awesome. I hope we're the gateway drug into, you know, the knife community, because there's a lot of custom knife makers that are starving artists, you know, that are making knives in their garage and trying to get by. And if they find the knife community through us, I think that's fantastic.
We're up against a break. 721-1290. We'd love to get some calls for Josh Smith. The grand opening again coming up on the 11th, and he's the founder and CEO of Master Bladesmith of the Montana Knife Company. So give us a call with questions or comments. We'd love to hear from you. 721-1290. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, Boo.
Hey, we're back on Talk Back. 721-1290 is our number. Josh Smith joining us. He is the founder and CEO of Master Bladesmith of the Montana Knife Company. Now, we were talking a little bit about where you go from here. Obviously, your factory is up and running. Everything's going well. What are the plans for the future?
Yeah, we want to continue growing. We're going to be launching our new folding knife, our pocket knife, here in about a couple months, which is going to be huge. It doesn't matter what industry you're in, you know, whether you're a radio host, a doctor, or a hunting guide, you can carry a pocket knife in your pocket. And really expanding across the country, that's the thing. We are such a big national brand now. It's really cool seeing our apparel going all over the world, frankly. You know, it's really cool. So just continue that expansion and then continue hiring.
Are you ever considering leaving and going to a larger market, or is this home for you?
Oh, that's a hard no. I mean, this is home. It's something that I was told I probably should do a few years ago. And I am building this company, frankly, kind of just trying to fly in the face of a bunch of no's, and you can't do that. I want to show, and I said this at the Drummond graduation commencement speech, just because you're from small town America doesn't mean you can't accomplish great things.
Right.
And I think being a Montanan, I think, is a superpower. And this is a fantastic, fantastic place to grow a company. And the world is small now with the social media and the internet, and you can grow a huge brand in a small town.
We do have a caller on the line. Let's get Harry on. Harry, good morning. You're on with Josh Smith. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Josh. I'm just curious, where do you get your steel? I mean, I've heard before that sometimes that specialty steels are hard to come by United States, or made by United States, but do you use high carbon or stainless or both? I'm curious.
Yeah, that's a great question. We use both high carbon and stainless. We're going more and more towards the stainless steel. The steel story is a bit of a long one, but I'll shorten it up. It has been American made for the last number of years. And then unfortunately last year, that company went bankrupt and got bought out of bankruptcy by a company in Switzerland and Austria. And so now, and it's unfortunate because they bought all the IP and they fired all those employees and they took that overseas. The entire knife community is buying their steel from Switzerland and Austria. And we are working, I'm actually talking to the Trump administration, we're trying to figure out how to bring that technology back to America. It's a powder technology and it's not done anywhere here. They kip it into big, huge blocks, and then they ship those blocks over here in like 1,000-pound blocks, and then it's all rolled out in America, ground in America. But yeah, it's actually kipped over in Austria and Switzerland now.
Wow. Yeah, I thought I heard something like that was, specialty steels are really hard to come by here, made in the United States. All right, thank you.
Yep. It's really unfortunate we lost so much of the steel industry, and I would love to see more of that industry come back for sure.
You bet. Thanks for the call. And I do believe we have Jeff on the line. Jeff, good morning. You're on with Josh Smith. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning, Josh. Quick question for you. Have you ever thought about making a buckle knife? I found one manufacturer who I had bought from over the years, but during the pandemic, his components were out of China, unfortunately, and he had to go, but stop the company. But and he was of a certain age, like Peter and me, where it's probably a good time to do it anyway. But I was just wondering if it's something that you've considered, because I know there's a hesitation out there because of a perceived illegality of buckle knives, but if the blade's under a certain length, it shouldn't be any different than any other folder. So, good question.
Yeah, no, it's a good question, and those are cool little knives, and we have talked about maybe at some point down the road doing something like that. It's kind of more of a concealed carry type option, but yeah, I don't see any problem with the legality of it, but yeah, it might be something we do.
Okay, because yeah, it's the ones I used to carry is had a little magnet in the back, so it was pretty secure.
Yeah,
so
for sure. No, it's
for expansion.
Great idea.
Yeah, because as you expand into the folders, I think that would be. I don't know what the market is for it. Frankly, I don't know how many people there are out there like me, but
sure,
might be. So, thanks.
Yep, thank you,
Jeff. Thanks for the call. Tom is waiting. Tom, good morning. You're on with Josh Smith. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Josh. You know, I'm a guy that has probably more guns than he needs and more knives than he needs, but I will probably be purchasing one from you guys. But are you have any intention of making any kind of commemorative knives, you know, like a guy can just have and, you know, just to have and have it around. And I have a lot of that kind of stuff. So anyway, if you'd answer that for me, thank you, sir.
Yeah, actually, we do some very specific kind of collector's edition type commemorative knives. For example, like we're working on one right now, and we did one last year, kind of a special runoff of Damascus steel knives that we do. We also have a traditions line that we do. So occasionally we do drop something that's a lot more exclusive, limited kind of collector's type items.
Oh, let's talk a little bit about hiring. What kind of people are you looking for?
You know, it's surprising. I think most people think of a knife facility and they think of a couple gray-haired guys like you and I. But honestly, when people walk through...
I consider it white, you know, white Santa type hair, but go ahead.
Experienced, right? It's but when people walk through, they're really surprised. Our building is full of young people. And so I think a lot of times women will count themselves out of like, oh, that's just a knife manufacturing.
It's a guy thing.
It's a guy thing. And that's actually untrue. We have a ton of young women that work in our building, and honestly, they make fantastic employees. As in addition to young men and women that are getting out of high school, maybe aren't sure if they want to go to college. You know, debt is a big deal right now with college debt, and we will help build you a career. So you don't have to have any experience. I'm looking for people who can communicate well, who show up on time, want to work hard, have a great attitude, and they get out in their personal lives and go and do things on the weekend. I want doers, and they make great employees, and that's our, most of our Montana kids are that way.
That sounds like both of my kids.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We're going to come right back. Phone lines are open at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Our guest here in the studio is Josh Smith, and he's the founder, CEO, and master bladesmith at the Montana Knife Company. We're going to come right back, hopefully with your phone call. Calls right after this.
Taco Sano.
75 years of research.
75 years of policy.
75 years of opportunity.
75 years of freedom.
This is 75 years of the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
Join us at mda75.org.
Being a family caregiver can be rewarding, but it can also be expensive. Search caregiver compensation programs at the AARP Foundation Paid for Care Hub, developed with support from United Healthcare. Visit paidforcare.aarpfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Talk Back. We're having a great conversation with Josh Smith, founder, CEO, and Master Bladesmith. I love saying that. That's really a cool title, by the way, of the Montana Knife Company. And Lee is waiting on the line to talk with you. Lee, good morning. You're on with Josh Smith. Go ahead.
Good morning. Yeah, just listening to you, it's great to hear all the news about the knife company. And Josh, just want you to know, it's great to speak with you for a moment. My son, whom you know very well, Ryan, was the one who helped put that thing together, that building for you. So I just wanted to give a shout out to him and to you. And he had a great time on that project and working with you. And so congratulations and all the best making your way forward.
Well, I appreciate that. And Ryan was phenomenal along with his steelworking crew. And that's actually one thing I'm really glad he brought that up. We used pretty much exclusively, I'd say 98% local labor companies to do that. All American, but also mostly all Montanan. And in the last 18 months, just in the Missoula Valley alone, we spent $17 million on building that building. And so it's not just the fact that we have a $875,000 a month payroll, and that also did not exist 5 years ago. You know, so it's damn near $1 million a month going into our local economy here. Those kids are going out and spending money and supporting other businesses, but it's that, you know, nearly $20 million that we spend on that building here in Missoula. So, again, this is how we make our country better. There's so much negativity in the world, and there's so much, you know, talk of all the negative things you see in politics and whatnot. But if we could recreate RMKC, American Manufacturing Store, story all over the country in small communities, we would all be better for it.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And Ryan just had a phenomenal time with you guys, and I appreciate that as well. And I haven't had the opportunity to go in there yet, but I hope to one of these days soon. Anyway, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And all the best for you guys. Thanks.
Thanks for the call. I bet your son could give you a great tour.
Yeah, they were great. And, man, they started tipping that steel up last February, you know, a year ago. And those guys worked through cold, nasty, nasty conditions. And every single day, you could just drive by on the interstate and see the changes. Those guys worked hard.
Well, I think that's the really cool thing is when people drive into Missoula or out of Missoula, they are seeing your logo and they're seeing your product. And I would imagine that's implanted now. When they go to back to Spokane or Seattle or wherever they're going, they're going to remember that.
I hope so. And I hope it represents more than just a knife. I hope it represents the American dream and hardworking Montanans. You know, it's just a really cool thing to represent. And I hope we make Missoula proud and Montana proud with that.
Now, you had mentioned, Josh, that you started in your garage with, mm-hmm. with your kids and all. And now you've got a beautiful facility, multi-million dollar facility. Mm-hmm. So what are the plans going forward? Obviously, is your brand pretty much complete now, or are you always thinking of innovating new things?
I say we're just getting started because we were at, I mean, all of these employees in December were still reporting to work at my house. We are just getting started. And so I think we have a ton more growth to go with the folding knives, with the brand, with the merchandise. You know, we've really launched more and more into apparel, you know, the soft goods side. You know, we're doing, you know, $6 or $8 million a year in that right now. And that's just really getting started.
What
and
kind of apparel are you talking about?
Anywhere from branded T-shirts and hoodies to more technical apparel for hunters and hikers out in the woods. We have some phenomenal, like, merino wool layers, stuff like that, like really good technical gear, rain jackets. And you can buy that stuff in our store out there. And so, again, we're trying to, and we're working with some U.S.-made manufacturers right now to source more of that. That's actually very difficult, honestly, as we found out in the apparel side. But we are trying to build a more holistic brand, and who knows what other things we'll get into.
I would imagine anybody who makes a living outdoors, whether it's Forest Service, whether it's a logger, whether it's, you know, hunters, whatever it might be, recreational, that lifestyle, I'm sure that you'd love to have them come in and say, hey, what do you have for me?
Absolutely. And when you put a shirt on in the morning, you are a walking advertisement for someone. It's really like, what do you believe in is what you're wearing on your chest. And so
I'm logoless today.
Yeah. You're not bought by anybody. But when you put that Montana Knife Company hat or shirt on, I hope that you're actually believing that you're representing, you know, a company and a way of life that we believe in. Like, we are proud of our country. We're proud of our first responders, you know, our freedom, our flag. We love our community. We try to do our best to help and support that. Friends, family, country, it's all that. And so that's what that logo means. And I hope it represents more than just a knife. It's an idea and it's an American dream.
Now, when people drive up, now do you want them to schedule a walkthrough, or can they just come right in, or how does that work?
During the grand opening on April 11th, we're doing those all day.
Right.
And so we're going to be doing those all day. After that, We are going to be putting out some information. I hope to do at least two or three tours, morning and afternoon. And so we're going to probably schedule those. You won't need to call ahead, but we're going to be trying to post some times that we're doing those tours after the grand opening. but this is kind of a learning process. We've never had something like this, right? And so if there's a lot of demand for
everything's new for you.
Yeah. If there's a lot of demand for it, we'll do it more often.
Yeah.
But really what we want to get out there is come out on April 11th, you know, starts at 6 a.m. There's more festivities kind of going on around 10 a.m. And then throughout the day, come out, check out the knife facility. We'll give you tours. And you can kind of see what we're talking about.
What will they see? Obviously, they walk in the door, and is there like an observation area where people can watch the people working?
There is, and that's our Black Rifle Coffee Shop. When you walk in, it's big, tall ceilings. We've got some cool, you know, elk and deer mounts on the wall and whatnot, and you'll see the cutouts of our actual knife blanks that are used as decoration. Even Will Clark, you know, he's the husband of one of our local vets, Angela Clark here. He's a pilot, but he made all of our furniture in our coffee shop.
Cool.
He made our desks and whatnot, but he used our knife blanks in that. Bitterroot Welding here in town welded those bases up using our knife blanks as the actual frames of the tables. And so, again, we're trying to support those local guys, and it's an experience when you come in. You get a cup of coffee and you sit down. There's huge windows looking into that manufacturing space, and you're going to see, you know, frankly, hardworking Americans, you know, making a living.
I see MKC, and I know it's a Montana Knife Company, but it also sounds like Montana Knife Community.
It really is. It really is. And we actually have, there's a Facebook user society that some fans, frankly, started, customers.
Cool.
We don't have anything to do with it. There's almost 7,000 members, and we've gotten word that about 300 of them are traveling from all over the country to come on Saturday. So it's really cool. It has created a community, and that user society, those guys share, you know, their hunting stories, and it's really just become a true community and friendship there, which is really neat, all gathered around knives and American-made products.
But it's not just around knives. It's about quality. As you mentioned, locally made, locally sourced product.
It is. It is 100%. No, we're super proud of that. And I hope that this inspires more people to maybe chase their dreams, right? I was a lineman here in Missoula putting in power all over town, you know, until December 30th of 2020. And you can quit your job, you can chase your dream, and you can have success.
Well, you almost started me singing that Glenn Campbell song. I'm a lineman for the county. Anyway,
yeah.
721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-530. No, I promise I won't. Josh Smith. Nick is like, don't do that. Josh Smith, and he's the founder, CEO, and master bladesmith with the Montana Knife Company. We're coming right back after this 1 minute timeout. Got a message for... Hey, we're back on Talk Back. Our final segment here with Josh Smith, his founder, CEO, Master Bladesmith. I love saying that. Master Bladesmith at the Montana Knife Company. And you were just relating a story about you had a chance to meet Mike Rowe and work with him and have him look at what you guys do.
Yeah, I went down on his podcast. He invited me on, and he's just a phenomenal human. He's exactly what you would hope he would be when you meet him.
Just down to earth.
Yeah, down to earth. Great guy. And he has such a cool... mission that he's on about giving out scholarships for people to go into the trades, get apprenticeships, right?
Wow.
And you know, things like I did with going and being a lineman. And I you can really create an amazing career by taking an apprenticeship path in the lineman, plumber space, you know, all those things. But you can also do that through a business like ours where you start as a knife tech and you work your way up and into the machining programs or engineering. And you know, it's tough for kids. I have four young kids, two still in high school and two in college. And it's a challenge to go to college, and especially if you're not sure what you want to do and go into so much debt. And you can skip that and have a really great successful career by getting an apprenticeship and going into that stuff. And we're actually supporting, it's the Micro Works Foundation, and 10% of every knife that we sell of the Stockyard knife that we did with him goes to, or I'm sorry, the rocker of the rocker, 10% of that knife goes to the Micro Works Foundation. And we're adding actually three new models to that later in the year. And we're working directly with him. And you'll see him wearing our shirt all the time. And he's just a really great guy.
Let's talk a little bit about in your shop. What kind of people are you looking for? I know you're employing a lot of folks, but do you train them or do you want them already trained? Share that.
It's a mix. Really, for the most part, It's no training whatsoever. You don't need any experience. It's really more about who you are as a core person. And what, and in our interviews, we're pretty tough. But if we think that you're, you know, the kind of person that has, you know, dreams and goals and wants to really work hard and go somewhere, we can take you there through our business. Now, there's other roles, you know, in the engineering and the finance. There's certain things that we are looking for, even with machinists right now. We're looking for high-level talent, because we are, you know, trying to make hundreds of thousands of parts on machines. And we, so it's a mix, honestly. We need high level talent, but we are also more than happy to hire the kid that just came out of high school that doesn't honestly know what he or she wants to do.
And the cool part about that is everything that you teach that individual, you know, as long as they stay with you, they'll be able to take that attitude and those skills to wherever they want to go.
Yeah, and honestly, we tell people, we know that they're not all going to stay with us. They might get married and their spouse takes them to a different state or whatever. We want to make our employees better. We actually teach them, frankly, we at times will open internal jobs and maybe our employees don't do the best job on a resume or interview. And then we give resume basically classes and interviewing classes to our employees to help teach them, hey, the next time you interview with us, let's level this up. And it might be someone else you're going and interviewing with. You know, if we teach you these machinist skills or whatever, you might leave someday and need to go interview, and I want those people to be successful no matter where they go.
I would imagine that there's a lot of Missoula and Montana entrepreneurs who have exactly that same spirit. To say, yep, you know, I was able to build this up from nothing, and I would like to share that with somebody else so that they can do the same thing with their own life.
Yeah, and a lot of these kids have seen their parents, you know, struggle and succeed, whether they come from a ranching family or a logging family or whatever, right? They've seen hard work modeled to them by their parents. That's why I think Montana kids make such fantastic employees, because, you know, they're not sheltered. They've had to work. And, you know, a lot of people want to talk bad about young kids today and, oh, blah, 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 be the old guy.
Kids these days.
Yeah. Right. I honestly think young kids today are the smartest generation, and we have fantastic, hardworking kids for us right now. It's phenomenal, and it's just a really cool atmosphere when you come in our building and they're playing their music loud in our manufacturing floor and they're having a good time. And like all our sharpeners the other day all challenged each other to a basketball game after work, and cool, they were out on my court at my house playing basketball. We want that community within our building, because at the end of the day, I understand it's a job,
right?
But we want it to be a community within the building.
Got about 2.5 minutes left. We've flown through this time together. Mm-hmm. Oh, what are we going to experience when we come to the grand opening on the 11th?
Yeah, I think you're going to experience that community. You know, you're going to experience customers that are big fans of ours that have never met us. You're going to experience parents of our employees that are proud of what their kids are doing. And I think you're going to experience a bunch of new people that don't have any idea, but they've just heard about it. And you're going to walk in and you're going to see, you know, we're not owned by some big conglomerate, right? You see a $20 million facility and you think that it's some big conglomerate
out of Chicago
corporation. Yeah, yeah. Out of state that owns it. No, Brandon and I own it. Right. and my wife and I think I just want it to represent what is possible in small town America and make people think big in whatever they're doing. And at the end of the day, I hope they'll continue to support us. And honestly, we run all kinds of marketing and ad stuff and spend money all over doing that stuff, run TV commercials. Nothing moves the needle like referral, friends and family, telling other people about us.
Because it's a good product.
Yeah, we get post-purchase surveys from our customers about how did they hear about our brand. And always, every single time, it doesn't matter. I mean, Rogan can be talking about us on his podcast. He wears our hats. He talks about us. It's always beat out by referral. And so that's the biggest thing, is to spread the word about what we're doing and tell people about it, because it helps us more than anything.
In the last 30 seconds or so, just give us location, phone number, hours, things like that.
86.
And the grand opening.
Yeah, the grand opening, and then just daily. Our coffee shop's open 7 days a week. It's 8659 Robbins Road. It's just right out past Love's at the Y, right before the Trap Club on the right. Once you get to Love's, you're going to see the giant American flag, and that should take you the rest of the way there. We're very proud to work under that flag. But yeah, and then come out for the grand opening Saturday morning, you know, 6 a.m. going on pretty much all day. And then really just 7 days a week, come out, have a business meeting out in the coffee shop, meet a friend, come have a cup of coffee, and check it out.
Josh Smith, you're always welcome here, man. Thanks.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. All right. Great local business and an entrepreneur right here, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, Mr. Nick, as we look forward to what's coming up on Monday, sir.
We'll have open phones from 8 to 9 and Rob Nadelson from 9 to 10.
Rob Nadelson from the Independence Institute. And for those of you who may be just new to the community and may not realize that Rob Nadelson was one of the founders of this program called Talkback. It's a long time ago. So anyway, again, a big thank you to Josh Smith, and thank you for your calls this morning. We appreciate all of you, and we hope that you will have a great weekend, everybody, and we will see you Monday morning, bright and early, at 8 o'clock for another edition of Talkback. And again, don't forget, Rob Nadelson in the 9 o'clock hour on Monday. So have a great weekend, everybody.